Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of Limitless with Nadia. We are back with another episode, and we have a very special guest on today, you guys. She is a very dear former client of mine, Miss Kia Husbands. So, Kia, thank you so much for joining today.
Hi, yes, thank you for having me.
Honestly, you guys, Kia's story is so inspiring. We started working together a few years ago. A few months ago.
God, it feels like it, right?
Right? It really does feel like it sometimes because of the work that we do together every single week. It just gets, we get really deep. So yeah, we've worked together for the last few months and I have really seen Kia through some pretty radical transformations. She has manifested quite literally her dream life from scratch. And so I wanted to bring her on today so she can tell us a little bit about her personal story getting into this stuff, kind of where she started and where she ended up and some of the most magical pieces along the way. So we have lots to get into today, Kia. I'm so, so excited. The first thing I really want to know from you is from your perspective, how, like, what were you dealing with before you started getting into this stuff? Like, what were your biggest problems and where do you feel like your mind was at?
Yeah, so I would say my mind was kind of down in the dumps, to be honest. Like when we first started working together, like I had just quit like my third corporate job. So I was already feeling like, oh crap, like I'm doing this again and I'm not really sure what's going to happen. Like there's a little bit of like when you quit your job, you get turned, like you're excited, right? And then you sit and then like 2 weeks go by and like nothing hits your bank account. So like it just... Mm-hmm. It's a depleting feeling. And then, of course, I was living in Houston, Texas. So I had to move back in with my parents in Florida. So there's that part. So not only am I jobless, I'm like low-key homeless. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like I felt like I kept going into the same cycle over and over again of like, find a great job, get in there, make good money. And then I'm in there and I'm friggin' miserable. Like I'm not sleeping. Like my eating is off. Like I don't know why I'm where I am or what I'm supposed to be doing. But like, I really wasn't trying to like stay or stick around. And that's what I knew my third time around was like, okay, give it a year. After a year, I was like, I'm not feeling it. So I quit. So I did that part, but I think there was a different sense of confidence that I had this time around. Like I knew that, like I already had the confirmation, like if I quit this time, I'm going to find something else. But I wanted to take a different approach to it. I wasn't sure what or how to do it. But I unintentionally was following my intuition when it came to like discovering you because I didn't know anything about you. I didn't even know you existed until a fishbowl. And to be honest, like I had even battled with like, I would say my ego when it came to even attending the webinar that you did because I was literally not even going to join and I was late. So when I joined, instantly like everything resonated and I'd never felt like that amount of surety, like at least not for a really long time. And I was like, I need to work with this person. I need to try something different. I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to wing it. Like we've been winging it these last few months and I'm home, but like now I'm ready to try something else. So that kind of started the whole like process into getting deep into this. So, I mean, I'd heard about like manifestation briefly, but I didn't let it go past like maybe a few like Instagram posts. I was like, oh yeah, that's nice. Cool. But I feel like talking to you, it was like, oh shit, like I'm going to do this. I'm going to give it my best shot because at this point, like I don't have any other options. So right. Why not? So now we're here.
I love that. And I think so many people can really resonate with the idea of being so sick and tired of being bounced around in a 9-to-5 or in several 9-to-5s that you just feel like are not it. Like, this is so not it. I feel like people feel their energy being drained when they come home from work. And I want more people to feel comfortable owning that because I think a lot of people get stuck at that place where they're like, no, you know, let me be realistic. This is a stable income. This is a stable job. But the fact that it's a stable job or a stable income is not reason enough to stay. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if we're being so real right now, like, job security is all an illusion. Like so right. Many people go, right? So many people go into that 9-to-5 situation thinking, yeah, you know what? This is it. This is going to make me feel stable and secure and I'll have all the money always coming in. But it's like people get fired from their 9-to-5s with no warning all the time. So it's like, it's so interesting to me to see how, you know, we think that that avenue will give us that sense of security. But, and I was just saying this on my Instagram story the other day of like the only thing that will actually bring you real security is the belief that, like you were saying, you'll find something no matter what. You will, it'll always work out for you. You will always find the right thing that you need when you need it. And I think that is like the main transition that people need to have. Like, if you are listening to this podcast and you are somebody who resonates with Kia's story at the beginning, like, consider the fact that the 9-to-5 is not actually the stable route. Consider the fact that that's not actually in alignment for you, despite maybe what your parents are telling you. And that's another question I have for you. Did you get any resistance from like your parents or your family or anybody around you with what you were doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to lie. At this point, I had worn the hat of like, oh, you normally quit things anyway. Like, and it's not that I quit things. It's just that like I would have such great jobs with such great companies. So people were like confused. Like I had a mix of like confusion, anger, like concern, because they're like, you, like before I was in Houston, I was living in New York. And that was supposed to be like my big thing. And, yeah, you know, a lot of people were already concerned about that. And then I moved to Houston and did the same thing again. So, I mean, I don't think anybody was like trying to wish ill or anything. They were just really like concerned because they know my capabilities. They know the type of person that I am. And mm-hmm. stability is something that I love to have. So when I don't have it, they know I don't have it because I'm like talking their ear off about how scared I am. But
yeah.
Yeah. And of course, my parents, like, they're immigrants. So being first gen, like, they're like, that's not the mission. You already accomplished the mission. Just stay the course, like, and ride this out. And I think it's confusing for them. But ultimately, they were super supportive about like, okay, just come home. But like, I'm not even gonna lie, the questions every day about, so now what are you gonna do? Like, what now? That was there. Yeah.
So interesting. And this is something I want to touch on because obviously we've talked about this. You're a manifesting generator, right? We haven't talked about human design in quite a few episodes, and I've been getting some requests if people want to hear more about that. So in terms of Kia's human design type, you guys, she is a manifesting generator like myself. And that means, this is one of the first things we talked about when we started working together, is if you are someone who feels that pull to be doing other things, even though you have like a lot of interests, or maybe you've been bouncing around and it makes you feel like you are not following one clear set path and that's making you feel weird, remember that as a manifesting generator, that you are not here to follow a linear path, because linear paths do not actually work for us. We're meant to do a little bit of everything, because that's what makes us so magical, is the fact that we have so many different interests and hobbies and passions. And we are actually here to figure out a way to blend all of them and create, you know, a career path that, again, isn't linear, but still incorporates all the things that we love and feel passionate about. So that's really the first thing, is I think when we were working together with you, it was about releasing this guilt that you're not following the same path that you have been for a while, or that maybe you got your undergraduate degree in, right? I know for manifesting generators, that's a huge, I've spoken with so many of you guys and you guys are like, oh my God, like, you know, I studied this throughout undergrad and I got my degree in this particular subject and I thought this would be the move, but then they get there and they're like, this actually does not light me up at all. Like, that's so common, because I think we are all forced to choose one thing and stick with it from like a young, I think 18 is very young to be choosing what your degree is. I don't know about you, but
absolutely. And making big financial decisions, like that's a huge investment, right? Yeah. So like the fact that we go into it with such limited knowledge, and you have to kind of make this, it's like, obviously you're going to be like, okay, well, if I'm going to spend thousands of dollars, I better make this thing friggin' work, you know? But it doesn't, right? Like it doesn't.
That's the thing. This is why for me as a coach, this is my big message, is like, stop making decisions on security and stop making decisions based on the rules that other people, society, your family is putting on you. Because when you're making a decision based on, okay, well, which thing can I stand doing for more than like 5 or 6 years or 8 years or whatever, right? It's like, when you're making decisions from that place, you are always going to be out of alignment, because you're never considering, what do you actually want to do? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you feel called towards or pulled towards? What are the things that your soul feels like, yeah, this is something that I actually really enjoy? Even if I don't know if I want to do it forever, especially as a manifesting generator, right? It only matters if you like it right now. Do you like it right now? Do you feel pulled to it right now? If so, how can you honor that? Like, I think that's where people need to be making their decisions from.
Yeah. And I mean, and to also say too, like, all of what you're saying is absolutely 100% true, but like, I had no idea. Like, I talk to people all the time that they're like, wait, what do you mean? Like, you have a choice? Like, yeah, like it's a different type of thing. And I think part of working with you was like, first of all, learning about, you know, my human design and being like, holy crap, like this makes so much sense. And even when I speak about the things that I do with people, like I'm able to support that more and not sound so unsure about it. But I think a lot of people, they've never really gotten that permission to like lead with their intuition. They've never, no one's ever asked them, let alone taught them how to use it. So this process working with you has been like learning how to do it and then being able to like properly articulate it to other people so that I can like share it. It's kind of like I'm a low-key the guinea pig for this, you know. Everybody's like, what are you doing following feeling? And I'm like, but it's working, right? Like it's working. And that like the proof, I think like that's the reason why a lot of people have to like it's nice to get the exposure and then see real life examples of it like coming into fruition.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing is like exactly what you're talking about. A lot of people don't get that permission. They've never gotten that permission of like, what do you want? What do you feel? Where is it that you feel pulled towards? It's like, we're always taught to just shut up and follow the rules. And that's why, again, as a coach, I'm here to be like, no, what are your rules? And how can you start imposing that upon your own life and using that as the basis for all of your decisions? Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, it's really difficult when you don't have previous exposure to this idea that, no, use your intuition, you know, tap into like the spirituality, tap into, you know, connecting with the universe and doing all this cool stuff. Like that is what's going to get you so much further than using logic and using, you know, statistical analyses. And this is a conversation, you know, we've had so much, right?
Yeah, and, I'm definitely leading with logic.
And just to give some insight, you guys, for anybody here who follows astrology, Miss Kia is a Capricorn sun. Mm-hmm. And I always notice this anytime I'm working with a client that has a Capricorn in their big three, it usually means that there's going to be a lot of work we're going to have to do going from logic to intuition, because Capricorn as an earth sign, right? You guys are driven by the stats, the hardcore, like the real life results and kind of like making decisions based off of that. And so I remember for you, when you first came to me, you were very, very driven by logic. Do you remember what it was like when you were in that state?
Of course. Like, and as a Capricorn, like we truly do desire stability and security. Yeah. Like, if those things aren't met, it's very hard for us to come out of our head to now be like, oh, let's have fun. Like, no, if I'm not eating, you know, if like there's no electricity, like it's a problem and everyone's going to know about it. So like, I think like it's benefited me and served me so well, especially climbing in, you know, in corporate. It's been like low-key a part of just the person that I am. And I've really kind of, I've worn it with a badge of honor, but I've also seen how difficult it's been to just accept newness. And it's like, I can tell deep down, I want that newness of like, there's a different way to do things. And then like my logic is like the cherry on top, right? It's like that piece that helps to like articulate things to other people and make me more comfortable. But living in it for so long, it's more of like trying to rewire my brain to not rely on it as like the first voice, right? Like, this is more of like the second one, and you can kind of choose to go with it or not.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think, you know, specifically in the context of when we were manifesting a new job for you, this was something I still use this story with people all the time when I'm talking, because it was just such a good example of how switching from logic to intuition can really change the results that you're seeing in your life. And I remember, again, specific to manifesting this new job that felt really aligned for you, there was a while where you were approaching it the same way that the old you did, of that Capricorn mentality of like, okay, hardcore result. Okay, I need to go approach this in a very logical way. And I remember you tell me, you were like, I've been looking for jobs all day. I've been going and searching. I've been perfecting my resume. I've been doing all these logistical things that you thought were necessary in order to get the job that you wanted. And I remember you feeling really frustrated that it wasn't getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that... because I was doing what I knew how to do. This is what they teach you in business school. This is what they teach you out in the real world. This is what, you know, what everyone's spewing of like, get on all these sites and like make your resume great and all that. Like, there's no sense of falling back into like your feeling, because the sense of urgency is always great. Like, there's there's finances on the line. So for me, of course, I was going to try it my old way, but I knew like this wasn't going to work. Like, because if I'm being honest, like every job that most of the jobs I've gotten, I didn't find them on an app or whatever or website. Most of them were from people. And when people tell you that, it's a little irritating because me personally, I'm not a networking person. Like, I guess people, you know, gravitate or like me sometimes and they're like, hey, you want a job? And I'm like, oh my God. So the universe low-key has been working for me always. I just have not been paying attention to it. And so now when it came to like looking for a new job, like I knew I was going to find another one. And to be honest, like I was kind of dragging my feet a little bit just because who doesn't enjoy not working, like not having to go to an office. Mm-hmm. But I think following like your process and really kind of opening up to the fact that like, okay, I've done this before. It hasn't worked. It's not working now. And it's stressing me out. So what's the harm in opening up to try a different way? I always, and now even when people ask me about getting jobs, I like will add that point in that, yes, you can still do the groundwork and the, you know, hit the pavement and all of that. But at the end of the day, like the job that you're going to sit in an interview and you can truly speak from like your heart and be like, this is why I want this job. And like, it's not just money. Like those are normally the jobs that like people, the interview changes, right? You can feel the vibe in an interview where it's not really an interview, then it becomes a conversation. So like, that's how I like give people the feedback of like, okay, now you can try to take a different approach and you'll know if some job is really going to be for you or not.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you were saying how like, when you would be doing that stuff of, you know, looking for the job and perfecting your resume, like it made you feel really stressed. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I remember distinctly telling you, like, how do you feel when you are doing those things, when you are actively looking for the job offer, doing all the things that you normally would to secure a job? Like, how do you feel when you're in that state? And I remember you being like, yeah, I feel stressed. I feel like kind of in a state of panic and a state of anxiety, right? And this mm-hmm. is always something I told you, I've told all of my clients, is that it doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters how you feel when you're doing it. And there is no action out there that you could be doing that's in alignment when it makes you feel so stressed and so anxious and so tense. Like that in and of itself is an indicator. And this is actually, if you've ever read the books, Abraham Hicks books, like Ask and It Is Given and all those really great, like that whole series, they really talk about the idea of you have an emotional guidance system. And this is something that's a foundation in my work as well, is like your emotions are constantly telling you whether you are in or out of alignment with the things that you actually want most. And anytime you feel really low vibrational, like that anxiety, that negativity, that pessimism, right? It's literally because you are directly opposing the things that you should be doing in order to get into alignment and actually make that thing happen, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like it was teaching you how to be like, okay, let's really change the way that we're seeing this. It's not necessarily that like the concrete steps are what's going to get you to where you want to go. The logistical things of that you always been taught, look for the job, go find it, right? It's about the thing that feels good while you're doing it. And so I remember again, when you came to me and I was like, okay, yeah, we're going to need to change this approach. And I remember distinctly telling you, you are forbidden from going to look for jobs. You are not allowed.
It was like, I was mad, but I was looking like, fine, I deleted the apps. It's like, well, you know, if this doesn't work, just the websites will always be there. But yeah, I remember that. It's a feeling of relief in a way, because sometimes, and that's the power of, I think, coaching, is it's so personalized and individual. When like someone tells you something, you're like, they're not just telling it to anybody, right? They're telling it to me because it's probably going to work. So yeah, I deleted those apps.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And the other thing is, I also remember this of when you came to me and like you had been looking for all those jobs and doing the whole search, like obviously nothing was coming up, right? You were pretty stagnant. Mm-hmm. Everything was still exactly the same. You were just digging yourself into that energetic hole of like, oh my God, is this ever going to work? I'm so afraid that I'm going to stay jobless. And so I remember when you came to me that one session and I told you, okay, no more looking for jobs. And I remember giving you a very specific homework task that week. And the homework task, do you remember what it was?
To have fun. And I was so excited too. Like I would tell people like, oh yeah, you know, my coach told me like, I just need to go have fun. Right. And they're looking at me like, what is wrong with this girl? But that was legit it. But my issue when you said it was like, I couldn't remember how to, like, I knew what fun was, but I'm like, what is fun to me? And you know, now that I have all this free time, right? I treated looking for a job like a job. And now I'm like, what do I, what do I do in this free time? And yeah. you're like, oh, like, what did you do when you were a kid? And I think like, and this is where I feel really lucky to have three amazing sisters, because they each remember like chunks of my childhood. Because when you are operating the way that I've been operating for so long, like, those memories, they're not at the forefront. You have to dig for them. And it's either someone prompts or you're just stuck kind of just looking into the abyss, right? Like, I really wasn't in, I wasn't meditating like that. I wasn't really in tune with myself. So I think like working with my siblings and them kind of being like, oh, do you remember when we used to do this? I was like, bet, you know, and then we went bike riding. I went bike riding with my siblings. I started learning how to swim. Like, swimming was a big thing that, like, I swam, but like, I technically didn't know how to swim. So I'm in there taking classes with like 8 year olds, and like, it feels crazy, but like, I enjoyed a lot of it. And it's funny to me how fast, like, it worked.
You see, and this is, again, it all goes back to that Capricorn sun, or like, again, or any Capricorn placements in the big three, of it becomes all too easy to slip into that adult mode. Like, and I've talked about this on previous episodes before, right? Literally last episode actually was about like being a kid again. And it's like, when you fall into this trap of being in that adult mode of hyper analysis, logic, okay, what do we need to do next, right? Like, you lose that sense of childlike joy that is what keeps all of us sane and keeps us grounded and keeps us open energetically. So I remember, like I told you, I said, okay, you need to go have fun. And you said, I don't really know. And I said, okay, what did you do when you were a kid? You started remembering, you went and you did that. You went home and you were doing all those things. And the following week, literally the fall, I still can't believe this. Like, I still talk about this literally day and night. Tell us what happened the following week.
So the following week, like, and I remember I told you, like, I think I had an interview, but I was like, I don't even know what this is for. I'm just going to go and do it. So I did it. And it was weird because even the interview didn't feel like an interview. It didn't even feel like the typical. And it was like, after I had the interview, I was like, okay, if I get it, it's cool. If I don't, I don't. And another thing too, like, it was funny, like, you are supposed to interview in multiple rounds. And I ended up somehow skipping a round, didn't even meet these people. And I met like the big boss or whatever. So I had my one and only interview with the big boss. And so by the time he was like, oh yeah, she's good, I guess. And by the time I met my actual boss, he was like, yeah, you weren't supposed to talk to him. But he already hired you. So like, I guess I'm just going to like help you. Yeah. So it was weird because everything fell into place in ways where I didn't think they would. And it sounds not real. But yeah, I got a job, and I kept having to ask, I'm like, do I have a job? Like, am I hired? Like, what's going on? And they're like, oh yeah, 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 you're hired. Your equipment's in the mail and everything. So like, it was because when we had decided, you know, like, this is what we're going to do, this is what I want, we wrote down everything, and everything and that was on, everything that was on that list came to fruition, and I got a job. So like, I didn't even really tell people, because at first I wasn't really sure if this was actually happening for me so easily and so quickly.
And the thing I want to know next is, remind me, what, when we were doing that getting clear session, which is where I start with all of my clients, you guys, when we're working together, we start with what is it that we're working towards? What is it that we are manifesting and putting our energy towards? So with you, do you remember what we put down for your dream job of like letting go of all the logic and the limiting beliefs? Like, I don't care about your previous experience and the likelihood of if you're going to get this. Let's just talk about strictly, what is it that you want in a dream career? Do you remember what we put down?
And I do want to note too, like, so me being a manifesting generator, like, I knew this wasn't going to be my one and done. I wanted something that would allow me the freedom to be able to also do my other things, right? Mm-hmm. So this, I had like the hours that I wanted to wear. I was like, I could do like not maybe 4 hours a day. And then I knew
I remember I asked you, because I asked all of my clients when we're manifesting a dream career, I always start with, okay, and how many hours do you want to work per day? And I literally do not allow them to put any more than like 4 or 5, because like, realistically, this whole 9-to-5 shit of, yeah, we should be working 8+ hours. Like, no,
it's terrible. Yeah.
We should be working significantly less. So I remember literally being like, no, we have to do way less.
Because I was being too modest. And that's one of the things, I don't know what it is. the modesty when it comes to manifestations. Like, I've been learning, like, wow, I'm being too safe.
Yeah.
So that was helpful.
Yeah. Like, the question became at the beginning, why don't you want to put down four mm-hmm. hours of work per day as opposed to eight? And it's like, there's a sense of guilt. Mm-hmm. And this is something I've actually been facing with a couple of other clients recently as well, is like feeling guilty for owning the things that you want. Like, yeah, working 4 hours a day is totally, people do it all the time. Like, why shouldn't you include yourself in the you know, subset of people who gets to do that? Like, it's like almost this like, no, I have to be working 8 hours a day to be worthy of a paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, we're being delusional.
Right.
Like, whatever amount of money you want with however much time you want to put into it, right?
Right. And when you're coming out of corporate, like, it does take a little bit of time for you to shed all of those like things, because it's been ingrained in you. Like, honestly, since school. Like, if you think about, the way that like our schedules are set, like, we already know half our day is like booked with something that we probably don't want to do, right? So
yes.
Working now, like, and then coming into like, okay, what job do you want to do? It feels like almost like foreign. Not real. You know, you're like, so I can ask for anything? Like, okay, let's try half the time. We want to do half the time. Like, when I shut my laptop, I don't want to think about work. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest factor for me, because work was everywhere for me. I can't even access my job on my personal phone, which is like the best thing ever. Yeah. Oh. All those things, like my boss, I wrote like how I wanted, you know,
micromanage.
Yeah. Doesn't manage. Coolest boss ever. Like, half the time we don't really talk too much, but it's been good in that it's come to fruition like that. But another point I want to make too is, I think I told you this, I had just like dropped my journal or something, and I had just flipped through it. And I always suggest people, like, you should definitely go back and read your old journal entries. But this was like in 2021, and I can't remember the date. Mm-hmm. I wrote this same job, like the same description, like project manager, like the whole nine. I mean, it wasn't like as specific as like, oh, what my boss was doing, but like the hours, the amount of money, just how I wanted to feel. And this is before I had any idea about any of this. This was in 2021. And then all of a sudden, that I don't know if that might have been why it like came so fast. They're like, oh, you already asked for this. By the way, here you go. And then the job appeared.
Oh my God, so, I remember that was so crazy, of like, universe literally brought that back to you so you could see that this is such a full circle moment. Like, you
forgot
how long.
Yeah, I completely forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. the other thing, I think you made a really interesting comment about how we've always been conditioned within the corporate culture, even before we get into corporate America, like as children. Mm-hmm. Why are the hours the same as corporate America, like 9 to 5? That's interesting, and that's not a coincidence. Like, they have been training us quite literally from when we were very, very young to follow the rules, follow mm-hmm. the structure, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, everyone tends to fall into that 4-year degree like path, and then they all end up with a 4-year degree not doing what they really want to be doing. And it's because we've always been stripped of that ability to decide what we want, decide our schedules, decide what we study. Like, I've been having a lot of ideas about how, like, we need to really change the school system mm-hmm. to give people more leeway, like students more leeway of like, what do you actually want to study? Not just about like, okay, you know, a couple of electives here and there, but it's like, you should be deciding what you want to study from a very young age, so that you can start to learn how to trust yourself and trust your voice of, what do I want to do? Because again, like, I'm always talking about the matrix, right? Like, don't get stuck in the matrix, because the matrix is literally training you to be a robot, to show up the way, you know, everybody else does to satisfy the mission of corporate America, which is to get rich off of your labor and not pay you what you're worth for it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, like, so I've dealt with a lot of this, because I feel like I've always had this altruistic, like this vibe about me where I'm at work and I would be complaining at work about work, and like, this doesn't feel good. And mm-hmm. everybody knew it. It's like an unspoken truth. Nobody likes it. Everyone's kind of just like doing the dance and hoping that we all just kind of like make it, right? Like, we're thinking we're secure at the time. This is pre-pandemic. But I think part of like all of our journey in this is to kind of look at this not from a, oh my God, these people controlled us and made us do all these things, and try to like figure out how to transmute this into something different, right? Like we've spent a whole generation plus then some in this whole frame of thinking, but now we're at this point where we get to think different, right? Like we get to challenge people. And I even noticed this on my way out of corporate, having conversations with like mentors and leadership, because a lot of the time they're like, why are you leaving? Like, we thought you were happy. And that's when the mask usually comes off, like after you put your 2 weeks in, then you're like, oh, yeah. Let me be honest. Yeah. And I'm like, I friggin' hate this. And a lot of them are like, I hate this too, right? Then they're like, yeah. And then they're like, I wish I had the courage to do what a lot of you guys are doing right now, because they didn't have that. They never felt like they had the permission to even consider breaking away from the status quo. So yeah, it's revolutionary now.
That is so interesting, because I actually didn't even realize that so many people, because I know there are some people who are like, yeah, I work a 9-to-5, but like, you know, they're in these higher up positions, and you assume that because they're in the higher up, like if they've gotten to that level, they've climbed the ladder, that it's something they inevitably want to be doing, right? But then you get there and it's like, yeah, no, I actually hate this too. And then it's like, okay, really interesting how, I don't know if you're Gen Z, but are you Gen Z?
Millennial. I'm like the millennial. Yeah,
there's a little bit of an overlap there. But as a Gen Z, I know that like my generation's reputation in corporate 9-to-5 America is really interesting, because we're given this whole thing of like, you guys don't give a shit about working for the team and the team, you know, the greater good of the team, and like you guys just do whatever you want. But it's like, we're just doing the things that you wish you had the courage to do, quite right, literally, because right, you were always bullied your entire life into thinking that you had to subscribe to the system. And then when push came to shove and you maybe had the opportunity to leave, you didn't because you were too afraid. And now the generations like me and you that are coming in, and we're just like, yeah, fuck this. We're not doing this anymore. And we're like so over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, for, and so add a pandemic to it. They're like, oh, well, they didn't really have that in particular, yeah, right? So now it's like stuff got real. But I did want to make a note too. Like, you know that thing where like, You ever see somebody or you hang out with somebody and like they irritate you and you don't really know why, you don't, or yeah, they, you don't like them, right? Like I think that's kind of the vibe that Gen Z comes into corporate with. People don't like them, and you know, and you're not really sure why, you know. You're like, a lot of them are really hard workers, they're tech savvy, anything social media, you bet. And yeah, like the older generations, that grinds their gears, because now you know how to do things better, faster, and you know more, and it's intimidating, right? Like there's just yeah, this whole gap of them really just being like, I don't really like you guys. But underneath, I believe that a lot of people really do admire like yeah, that strength, that courage, and they wish they could have that experience. So like, yes, they're having conversations, but they're not open. They're not as open, right? So they're becoming more open, yeah, as you guys are forcing people now to like reveal themselves in public spaces. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh my God, that is so, so true. And I always felt that as well, is like from my own, like when I was working in corporate America, like I got kind of the same vibe of like, I can't stand you, but I want to be you at the same time.
Right.
Like, man, I wish I could embody that kind of energy.
The envy, the undercover envy.
Yes. Yes. Oh man, the dynamics between the generations are so fascinating. And I dive into that with Fishbowl, which is how you found me, right? Mm-hmm. Of like disrupting this whole like status quo of like, you know, do the job that you can't stand. And I also think it's interesting, like interacting with my mom, who is obviously like, she's part of that generation of like the older generation who is like, you know, do the hard work, just climb the corporate ladder, like shut up and do your job. And I've had conversations with her where she's like, you know, it almost feels unfair that your guys' generation has all this access to all this opportunity that we never had. And it is so true. Like, I do want to make sure I'm not being insensitive. Like, their generation did not have the same level of opportunity that we have now that we have social media and all this, you know, all this amazing thing. So it makes sense that they followed the pattern, or they followed what they were told of like, just shut up and climb the ladder. Just shut up. Even if the job sucks, like just take it. It's fine. As long as you get the stable paycheck and you're, you know, growing on the ladder. But I just think it's the crazy thing is that all of us do have the same access to the infinite potential to make anything happen. It's just, we trick ourselves into thinking that we don't have that power, that everything is out of our hands, that things are just happening to you instead of like through you. So yeah, I think that's also something that we worked on together with you of like, no, you do have power as a conscious creator. if you just learn how to take control of your thoughts and emotions, you can create any outcome you want with focused attention, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit of brainwashing too. Like, I mean, I don't like to use that term, but like, we've been brainwashed, right? Yeah. That's how you get people to fall in line. You have mm-hmm. to kind of get rid of certain bit of thinking and replace that with something else. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting that now we're doing the same thing. I'm re-brainwashing myself. Mm-hmm. I'm unlearning a lot of the things that really don't help me or serve me anymore. And mm-hmm. the difference is that when you relearn the new way of thinking, it feels different. It feels yeah. so much, and it feels easier, right? Almost too easy to where you're like, how does everyone not know this? Like, you're like, is this a secret? Like, how do people not know this? And that's yeah. where I'm at now with telling people, like explaining yeah. it to them. And they're like, what? I can see the wheels turning in their head about like, I really do wish that everything you're saying is true, but I've been brainwashed for so long. How can I go from thinking one way for 30 years to now thinking some way else? So like, imagine your parents who've now been like on the planet for like almost half a century, probably even more. And, you know, they're at this place where it's very difficult to change that way of thinking. And that's what's helped me in like trying to understand them, is really just understanding them from a point of view of like being logical, in that doubling the amount of time that I've been on the planet, you've got to deal with all that shit too. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I think about that too. I try really hard to have grace with people who have spent their entire lives, 30 plus years, believing a certain system and subscribing to a certain system. Like, it's hard to just change that overnight. You can't, like, this is a whole set of conditioning. Like, it's literally a programming that mm-hmm. that's been reinforced years upon years. And I think that's why it's magical for our generation that we get to learn this stuff a little bit earlier on. So it's easier to kind of make that shift. But at the same time, I think a good, well-written book can convert anyone. I'll be mm-hmm. so real with you. Like, The Power of Now, I think that's one of my favorites.
Right? Yeah, The Power of Now is definitely one. That and Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. That one right there, like, I mean, I don't know if you do recommendations on your podcast, but if for anyone who has difficulty with meditation, like if you are of the science or the logical nature, you know, I feel like sometimes you need to be taught how to do something as simple as sitting there by yourself. And mm-hmm. that book did that for me. And then, of course, The Power of Now, like, I don't know, you just keep having to reread it. You're probably not going to get it the first time. No, maybe not the second time. But like, there'll be a time where it's sitting on your shelf and you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, let me go and read that. So you're right. Books are it.
Yeah. They really are. And I think, yeah, The Power of Now is a really powerful one. And I learn something new every time I reread that book. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the same takeaways every time. It's like you start to realize even more when you're rereading it. But the other thing that I wanted to talk about, because I know that this was a big shift that we kind of worked on with you, is learning how to get more into your spirituality. Because I think, and you've, oh my God, the new earth conversation, we have to talk about that here. Because I think it's just such a relevant conversation to have when we're talking about manifestation. And I do get messages from people all of the time, specifically from Muslims, because I was born in a Muslim family. I was raised in the Muslim faith. And, you know, I get people they ask me questions of like, you know, am I allowed to practice manifestation? Is that going to contradict my religious beliefs? Like, where does that fit into everything? And I think it's such an important conversation to have. And I know that you've read New Earth. So I want to know, like, what has been your experience with shifting from this mindset of, you know, maybe not dabbling too much into spirituality or staying away from that, keeping it super logical, to now having a really like strong relationship with your spirituality?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's helpful to know, like, I grew up Christian, but like I went to an Episcopal church during the week, but I also went to like a Catholic school like also during the week. Yeah. And then at one point I was also in a Baptist school. So like, and then I went back to public. So like I've had like a little, just, it's been a lot when it comes to like just involving with church. And I think while it's a safe haven, there were a lot of questions that I always had. And of course, in Christianity, you're taught you just don't question, right? You just accept what is and what the adults tell you. Because they low-key put the fear of God in you. Let's just be real. It was a fearful situation. And hell, to a lot of kids, was like the utmost, like, don't want to go there. But I think we all have this like knowing underneath that there's something else or that something doesn't sit right. And yep. that right there is what kind of propels a lot of people, whether it's to leave religion altogether or to find something else. Yep. Because there's always something that fits a bit better. And mm-hmm. I will never tell somebody like, don't believe in X, Y, and Z, because I think, especially as you as people learn and go on this journey, you'll find all of these commonalities between all religions. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just really knew that like that couldn't be it, right? Like yeah. the relationship that I had with God was different. And yeah. even when it came to like learning about the word God, like and as you start to read, you'll learn that like the meanings that words have are different because everyone puts their own meaning on it. And then that puts that impression on you that low key sticks in your brain. And then you don't even realize why you believe that is. So yeah, I wanted to build my own relationship with the universe, source, whatever that was, because that's how it sticks. When something's forced on you, we all know it doesn't really, more than likely, it's not going to stick or you're going to rebel and it's just going to be all bad. So mm-hmm. I wanted to go on that journey and I'm still on that journey. I'm just in the beginning of this journey, but it's just been filled with just magic. I know some people don't like that word either, especially when it comes to related to things like this, but like magic is what it was for me when I was a child, when I even had my own experiences with God or with spirit, what universe, and magic is what it is now for me. So I'm going to stick with that and run with it. But I think spirituality, there's just such an open window of like all of these things and all of these people and places and words and meanings. And a lot of it, I've just been to like, because there's a lot, right? The internet can be super overwhelming. I would always caution people to use discernment and also your intuition, your gut, use that to guide you. Because the minute I hear something that doesn't sit well, I turn it off and move on to something else. And that following that has been like so much fun in that yeah. everything that I've received has been perfect for me. So I think like as people go on any type of journey, whether it's, you know, with deeply in religion or even if it's spiritual, there's an important factor of you doing a lot of this on your own. You know, you have yeah. to kind of spend the time with yourself. And yes, people are going to always give you their opinions, but think about yourself first, your first mind, your first opinion, and yeah. go with that. And then, you know, if it's not sitting with you, then move on to something else. But the self-judgment that's usually involved with all of this is what I think stops people from exploring. When I think mm-hmm. in honesty, like source, religion, whatever you want to call it, source, universe, all that mm-hmm. wouldn't have provided all of these different avenues if they didn't want all of us to explore it in our own yes. ways. So
wow, what yeah. a great way of putting it, of like we would not have access to all of these schools of thought unless we were going to be encouraged to actually look into them. And I think the emphasis is on the word look into, not necessarily buy into. And that's mm-hmm. the thing, is like, you know, what is the nature of the word truth? Truth is what resonates for the individual, and truth ceases to be truth the moment it is imposed upon somebody else, right? So it's like, if you look at religion, a lot of the times religions will kind of misinterpret the actual like universal truth, because it tries to declare that this is the only right way of going about things. This is the only right way of practicing and believing in spirituality, right? And that's what creates that like sense of judgment of right and wrong. There's a right way to approach this and a wrong way to approach this. And if I do the wrong way of approaching this, I'm going to go to hell, right? But it's also like exactly what you said. I love what you mentioned of, you know, how does that make you feel though? Whatever it is that you're subscribing to, use your emotional guidance system, right? That inner compass that will point you in the direction of what's aligned and what's not aligned. Is there red flags when you are reading about certain like philosophies within religion, or you're like looking into certain religions where it's like, ooh, that does not feel right? Like for me, this is something that was within my own journey as well, of like discovering religion and spirituality. Because again, you were raised in a Christian household. I was raised in a Muslim household. There are certain ideals that are passed on to us. And it's like the whole concept of heaven and hell, right? And I distinctly remember, because I went to Catholic schools as a child, just like you. And I remember when I was being told by my elders that if somebody is not Muslim, they're going to go to hell. Like it's like they're a kafir, they're going to hell, they're a non-believer. And I remember, you know, having my friends at school and being like, I don't know why, but I don't think God would punish them for subscribing to a different religion. Like even at a very, very young age, like you're saying, we all have that intuition, right? Something about it felt off to me of like, that just doesn't really seem right or fair. You know, this is a good human being and they're going to go to hell simply because they don't subscribe to the specific way that this narrative is being spun. And I think, you know, it's good to question what doesn't feel right because it doesn't feel right for a reason. If it did, mm-hmm. that would be your truth and it would be mm-hmm. that simple, right? This is my truth. This is my reality. This is what I believe. But mm-hmm. if there's any part of you that is doubting a religious, you know, structure that you've grown up with or just religion in general, it's like, I encourage you to, like you said, use your discretion, right? But look into it a little bit more without the fear of, oh my God, am I going to go to hell for questioning this, right? Mm-hmm. Because like you said, we are inquisitive human beings. We're meant to explore, to get curious and learn about what are the different philosophies that are out there and what feels good for me and what can I leave? Because it's about taking what resonates and honestly leaving the rest.
Absolutely.
Like, and that's what I tell you, right? Like that's what I've told all of my clients is, okay, when you're coming into this, do you have a certain religion that you subscribe to? Most people, it's no. It's either I came from religion, but now I'm just kind of like, you know, in the middle, more spiritual than religious. But I always ask, like, what is your belief system? That's the words that we'll use. Like, if you prefer the word God as opposed to the word universe, we can absolutely use the word God, right? It doesn't really matter what labels or what narrative you're putting to it. It's about, is this resonating as a truth for you? Do you genuinely believe it? And that's what matters more. And I think that's what was so cool about kind of like watching you blossom into this is that you realize that one, it's okay to look into other belief systems. Like you're not going to be punished. It's not going to be bad. Right. And also seeing you lean into the things that felt right, like talking about the universe and talking about source and watching that connection be strengthened because you would get the confirmation, right? Like there were so many times where you would ask for a sign and you would be given a really clear one, right? And that felt so good.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I do want to make a comment too. And like, when it comes to this whole exploring, right, religions and things like that. Like, I think it's one of those things. It's an individual journey. And I think what a lot of people forget is like, while religion is there as like a house, right? A house, a place to facilitate this and to yes. guide you and to give you a space to talk about the things that you want to talk about related to that. Mm-hmm. This has to be a personal journey for you. And I think when people don't want to take that journey, it honestly is out of fear because their whole identity could crumble if they figure out that they no longer identify with that, right? Yes. But it's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. It can be bad when some people feel that they could possibly be persecuted for this from their own family and their own friends. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of us, as we get older, we start to realize like giving a shit about what a lot of people think and what they say, like it's so much more exhaustive as opposed to following what's going to be right for you. And then understanding too, a lot of these things, that's what they are, identities. And we are not that. We are so much like bigger. And it's just, I can't even fathom like all the things that I'm learning, when you say like it resonates, like resonation, it's a feeling. You're just like, yes. It's true. And you just go with that. Yeah, you just go with that. And whenever somebody tells you other, you're like, okay, whatever. So like, that's kind of what everyone has to go on their journey. And then also not being shy to talk about these things with people. I think a lot of the reason why in religion, there's so much it's just people don't talk about the feelings that they feel around the things that they discuss. And yes. I think the more we get comfortable with talking about it without judgment and being open, like, oh, that's what you believe. Cool. What do y'all do? What do you like? Yeah. Like, what is that about? And like, you'll start to find all these common threads mm-hmm. to the point where it's like, oh my gosh, low key, we're all on the same page. We're just doing it a little bit differently. So that'd be my recommendation. Yeah, go on your own journey and don't identify with it too much.
I completely agree. I think that's such a great point to make because, like you said, a lot of people do fear venturing out and questioning things on their own because they were made to feel like they need to get approval from somebody, whether it's God, whether it's a priest, whether it's a sheikh, like whether it's somebody like within the religious structure. But it's like it has always been you and the universe or whatever mm-hmm. higher power you want to believe in. And it Absolutely. Will always be between you and the universe. And yep. as long as you, and I love what you said about the ego as well, is so many people tend to identify so heavily with you know, what's going on around them of like, I am of this faith and I have this job and this is my name and this is my, but it's like all, like none of that shit is real. Like it's real. Mm-hmm. None of it is real. And it's not a testament to who you actually are. You are simply pure consciousness. You are simply like awareness. So it's like, as soon as you can start to detach from all the labels that you put on yourself, you will free yourself to be able to look into what actually does resonate with me? What does feel good to me? Because this also goes back to the whole conversation about like, don't be a robot. Don't just mm-hmm. follow because it's there and the rules have always, it's like question what you follow. And like, this is something for me personally, this is a huge value of mine. I do not have a single belief that I do not actually back with what feels like truth to me, right? So there is not a single belief that I have where I'm just like, yeah, I don't really know why I believe that. It's just like, that's just what I've like been taught. Like, no, I have thoroughly investigated every single piece of truth that resonates with me. And I'm able to back it with the belief that, yeah, this feels like real for me. So it's like, I challenge you, anybody who's listening to this podcast, if any of this stuff is resonating with you, like I challenge you to give yourself the space to ask yourself, what do I believe? And does it resonate as truth for me? When I think about it, does it, like you said, sit right with my soul, with my spirit? Is this something that I'm like, you know what? It makes me feel relief. It makes me feel calm. It makes everything very simple. Or does it complicate things? Does it make like the opposite of intuition, right? Makes you feel fearful, makes you hyperanalyze. The headspace gets really noisy. So it's like, start using that emotional guidance system, right? How do you mm-hmm. feel? Like you said, so many people don't talk about how things make them feel relative to the conversations they have and the beliefs that they subscribe to. It's like, ask yourself, how does that make me feel? And if it makes you feel anything other than peace and calm, it's worth revisiting because it means that there's something there that's just not sitting right with you for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was trying to think too, as you were talking, there's a book, Outwitting the Devil. So it's that book, because I think it highlights the perfect point here. If just the biggest thing is that people have just been taught not to think for themselves. Yes. And that really is a gatekeeper for a lot of things. Once people start thinking for themselves, now it's a whole different ball game. So I think the thinking for yourself piece is a big part of that. But also, like, although I mentioned it's an individual journey, you'll be so surprised that once you embark on that journey, all the people that are really supposed to be in your corner and supporting you and being that space for you to just kind of talk and be, like, they just start to show up. So for me, it's like, you just, I asked for community, because that was a huge part of what I was missing, is like, okay, I'm doing this and I'm learning all this stuff, but who am I going to talk to about it? Because clearly I can't talk to the people that I've been talking to about my other stuff. So, mm-hmm. Just don't be afraid to go on the journey, and just understand that the people who will support you and love you through it, they will just show up.
Mm-hmm. You'll be able to attract them because
you'll attract them. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And the other thing I wanted to ask you was, like, again, as you were developing that relationship spiritually between you and the universe, like, what were some things for you that have happened where you're just like, oh my God, there is definitely a higher power. Like, I'm definitely not alone in this. And there is something that's communicating back with me.
Yeah. A few things, but I think the funniest one was when I first started looking deeper into this stuff. Mm-hmm. Coupons. The universe is always sending me and it's funny, the way it happens is normally I will think of something and then I'll just check my inbox, or I'll get a text message or something, and boom, coupon. Like, instantly. Or like, I'll have money in like some random account for like rewards or something. That's one thing. But it is a culmination of like a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. But that the coupons for sure. And then also recently I manifested a new place to live. So like now I've moved. Yeah. Right. So I remember talking to you about it, and I was like, I really don't want to be here. And then I went from that place to like, I'm cool being here, you know, I'm saving money at my parents' house, to like, mm-hmm. then it showed up and it was the perfect price and the perfect location around the people that I like. It's like everything that I've really been clarifying as to what I want and how I want to feel in those spaces, they literally just been showing up. Like I'll have a question, I'll meditate on it, and in a podcast, the exact question, like, And then all of the follow-up questions will show up in the podcast. So it's like between all of the different like content vehicles, like you'll be surprised, like all of the things that show up, if you think back to when you thought about it, because you're obviously going to forget. When you forget, that's when it shows up.
Oh my God, 100%. And I think it's so funny because I remember always telling you, and this is something else that's cool that I get to like do with my clients to kind of witness the magic of it, is like you'll come to me with a question of like, should I do this or, and should I do that? And I'll literally just be like, Kia, ask the universe, dude. Like the universe is literally always there.
Like, duh. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you ask your parents a question that you already know the answer to, that's yes. what it feels like. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's so beautiful that it's really just as simple as set the intention, like ask the question. You can meditate on it. You can literally just send it into the universe of like, universe, I need a sign. I want to know how to move forward with X, Y, and Z, and then literally just forget about it and you'll get the message. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's a thing that I think honestly, personally has been such a big part of the process, is doing little things like that to know that the only guidance you will ever need, you can find it within yourself. And just by channeling, asking the universe, right? Like unsubscribing from this idea that there, you have to get approval from somebody else, or you have to like find answers from other people. It's like, no. It's literally as simple as asking the universe, and the universe always has your best interest at heart, mm-hmm. right? It's always going to guide you in the right direction. So you never really have to worry about, oh, is that the right answer or not? It's like, it's so magical. And it's so like, holy shit, did that really just happen? That it's like, you can't even question it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the caveat too, right? Like, you're not going to get everything you ask for, right? You're going to get exactly what you need in that moment. So don't be greedy out here and think you're just going to get $1 million. Like, that's not how it works, y'all. No. I've tried it. It's not how it works.
Yeah, yeah. The universe is going to give you what you are ready for and
what you're ready for.
And nothing beyond that, nothing less than that either. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say congratulations on the move. I know that's something that happened recently, and I'm so happy for you and so proud of you, just being able to watch you grow. Because I know that was something really big that you were talking about when we first met, of like really wanting to move out of your parents' house, do your own thing, have your own space, have your own people. And I remember actually, I think it was either the first or the second session where I told you, girl, nothing is going to change until you make peace with where you're at right now. Right. I was like, you got to learn how to be grateful, be appreciative for what's the situation that's happening right here and right now. Because as long as you're in that state of lack and your awareness is going to what you don't have, you're going to manifest more of what you don't have. Right. But as long as you can see what's going on around you. And I remember you also being like, you know, it's difficult for me to be at home because, again, you do want to have your own space. It's hard to live with family members sometimes. And I remember telling you, like, maybe there's something the universe wants you to learn before you're ready to move, like from this dynamic, right? Of like, you know, maybe needing to manage relationships with family members or whatever the case may be. Like, maybe there's an obstacle that's being, or an opportunity that's being presented in front of you that's a challenge, but it's also a way to level up. Because if you can get through that piece, universe is like, bet, pass the test, now you can get to the next level, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I needed to be, and I also needed a safe place where I wasn't stressing financially. Like, that's how the universe works, right? Like, I don't see the benefit of it, but they're like, this is a free place to stay. You have a bed, you have a room, you got food in the fridge. Like, all the boxes, the basic needs boxes, when it came to that stability that I needed, were there. It's more of just the comfortability. And of course, who wants to be chilling at their parents' house all the time? Yeah. But I also think, like, part of accepting like where I was, and this is advice for anybody too, like, I would literally have to pick the smallest things to be grateful for, like my bed, my dog, the chair that I'm sitting in right now, that's like my favorite meditation chair, you know, like the lights that are hanging in my room, and like just all of these little things you taught me, you know, like literally sitting there romanticizing all of these things. Like, that's what space I had to put myself into. Yeah. And kind of, you're kind of tricking yourself a little bit, but it's true. Yeah. It's all true. You have so much, and that abundance is really always there. It's just literally how you reframe it in your mind when you're thinking about it. Yeah,
it really is. And that's why so many of us take so many things for granted. And that's why also, like, think about it. There's millionaires out there who are deeply unhappy. They have all the money, they have all the stuff, they have all the things, and yet they're still not satisfied. And it's because abundance is a state of mind. It's not a physical status, right? It's like mm-hmm. abundance is something that you achieve mentally and spiritually and emotionally of like, I'm content with where I am and who I am and what's around me, right? And as soon as you get to that level, again, that's when you're able to invite in more because where awareness goes, energy flows, right? Mm-hmm. You're paying attention to all the things that you love, that you have, all the things that you've been blessed with, all the abundance, all the amazingness, and that's what invites in more. So it's like, until you learn how to really appreciate what's going on around you, you can think, oh, like, and this is something so many people fall into, right? I'll be happy when I have X, Y, and Z. I'll be happy when I have $1 million. I'll be happy when I, but the thing is, this is called the hedonic treadmill of happiness. It's a psychological like phenomenon where as human beings, we all fall into it, where it's like, we all think, okay, I hate where I am right now, but this thing is going to save me. It's going to make me happy for like ever. And then you get the thing, whether it's a promotion, a raise, a job, a like, you know, money, a partner, whatever it is, you'll get it. And then you get the happiness of it for like, you know, a while, but then you start back at square one of like, oh shit, I'm not actually happy with my life and what's in it, right? So it's, again, abundance is a state of mind. It's like an energetic frequency. It's not about what you actually have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And learning about abundance, oh my gosh, that right there is a game. That and gratitude yes. is a big thing, because you, and I always will go to like the worst possible scenario. Like I'm just wired that way from a problem solver. But when you start to think from the other side of the spectrum, like everything is actually going really great and I'm alive. Yeah. Every single day I get to wake up, I breathe, I walk, like the whole nine, like all these little, these little things start to matter more. So yeah, I think people have to really think clearly about what they understand when they hear abundance, because it's more than like money. It's yeah. not just money, y'all, in case you didn't know. But yeah, I've loved getting a better understanding of that.
Yes. And I also want to ask you, I know you've been doing the Abundance Accelerator workbook, which if you mm-hmm. haven't heard about it, you guys, this is a 3-day workbook that I've come out with or for manifesting money. And I know that you've had some pretty crazy results with that. I would love to hear.
Yeah. How yeah. And I'm waiting for you to drop more, more workshops, but I manifested money, and it was, I specifically asked for how much I wanted, what I was going to use it for. And in 3 days that appeared. And like, even for one amount, like it was like triple the amount. And it was like a day late, which I think that was the universe low key like joking on me, but like it happened for me. And I think, and I've done it. I've done that. And then I've also tried to do the workshop when I wasn't in a similar mindset. So I think that's important when you guys are doing these things. It's like to do it in multiple occasions, and you'll start to understand the differences between what mindset you were in when it actually happened versus what mindset when you weren't. So when I was in a great mindset, it worked, you guys, and I was able to manifest money for exactly what I needed to use it for, because it literally came in the places that I was going to use it for. Mm-hmm. But now I know I'm ready to think bigger. I'm ready to think bigger.
I love it. I love it. And that's the cool part about that workbook, is that it does kind of give you a gauge. Mm-hmm. If you start to use it like over and over, you start to realize, okay, what was different about my energy when I was approaching it at this time versus at this time? And how was the financial, like, how were the financial results different? So I'm so glad that you've had so much success with that workbook. And you guys, this is something new that I've recently come out with. I will link it for you if you want to purchase it, but it's a 3-day workbook for manifesting abundance and money and opportunities. So that will be available to you guys if you would like. And with that, I want to thank you, Kia, for coming onto the show. Yes. It is always so cool to have former clients come on here and just talk about their stories and their transformations. And I want to thank you for being open and honest and sharing your wisdom. I think so many people are going to be very inspired by your story.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And for you, please keep doing what you're doing. Keep just providing a space and exposing people to like just new ways of thinking. So I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. And you already know that is like my life mission right now. Like I be exposing everything. I be talking about everything, holding the space. And one other thing, you guys, before we actually sign off, two things, actually. Number one, we have the Limitless Challenge of the Week, right? Limitless Challenge of the Week this week. What do you think that should be, Kia? Do you have any ideas?
I don't know if this is difficult, but I would challenge people to like maybe notice a belief or something that you've always thought and challenge that, like challenge it and think, do I really believe this? Did I get this from somewhere else? Is this really what resonates with me? Mm-hmm. And just see. So yeah, just pick a belief. That's my suggestion. Yeah.
I think that's actually perfect of like kind of exploring maybe specifically your spiritual or religious beliefs. And
spiritual see, you know. Work, you know, like, do you really want to work a 9-to-5?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Explore. Yeah. Your relationship with your career. Is it something that feels aligned? Do you like it? And you'll know it's aligned if you really do enjoy it. And if there's even a small piece of you that's like, meh, it's a no, it's a hell no, actually. And it's okay to kind of go with that and start exploring what would make you really happy. So I love that. Explore your beliefs and how you feel. Maybe just check in with your EGS, your emotional mm-hmm. guidance system, right? Mm-hmm. And start paying attention to the things that feel good and the things that feel off or like something's, you know, not right. And give yourself the space to challenge it, to look into it and see what is a belief that does feel like truth to me, that does resonate and sits with my soul, makes me feel more relief than it does distress. I think that's perfect. So that's your limitless challenge of the week, you guys. The last thing that I want to just kind of put out there, because I haven't really made this announcement quite yet, but we are rolling out a very new coaching program. It is a group coaching program. It is going to be incredible, you guys. This is literally life-changing. I've obviously been doing one-on-one work with you and with a lot of other clients, but this group coaching program is very holistic and it's something that is absolutely going to change so many lives. So you guys definitely want to stay tuned. If this is resonating, if you feel a spark, even as I'm explaining this, and you've been thinking about coaching, definitely stay tuned on my Instagram because I will be posting updates when we start taking applications. So that's the last thing I wanted to say before we close off this episode. Again, Kia, thank you so, so much for joining. You have been an absolute pleasure to speak with on the pod today. And we will catch you guys next week for episode 20. I hope you all have an amazing, wonderful week. I know we haven't really been on the same posting schedule lately, but I hope you guys have been enjoying the episodes and we will check back in next week. Bye.
Bye.